Father, here we are in your house, and we are grateful for your house. We are grateful how you've taught us, Lord, and keep teaching us how to love you and love one another. Oh, how it helps us get through this world as there's so much trouble and turmoil in the world, but in your place there is peace. So let your peace come here. Pour your Spirit out upon us. Cleanse us now from all unrighteousness. Be glorified in your house, Lord, and come. Grace us with your presence. Touch us by your Spirit, we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's good to see you guys. So I am led to continue bringing messages relating to the gift from God our Father in the form of Jesus, his Son, and our Savior. Last week for you guys, I did the beginning of this was called An Unexpected Gift. So I discussed last week how this gift from God was somewhat unexpected in the way it was presented. The promised Messiah was expected in the way by the Jewish people, but it was not expected in the way it arrived. Instead of coming with a display of great power and complete supremacy, the gift arrived as a little baby, wrapped in the cloths that were to be used to wrap the next Passover lamb, to be born in the cave to an expecting female you. This gift did not appear as standing tall in regal robes or as King David did, fearlessly slaying the giant Goliath and routing the Philistine army. The wrapping of this gift was humble and unassuming. This wonderful gift was first announced to lowly shepherds who guarded the flocks of sheep. These sheep were soon to give birth to Passover lambs intended to be sacrificed during the Passover feast. The shepherds told the story to all the people in Bethlehem who would listen to them that night. What they heard from the angels and what they had seen when they found the Christ child. And then they returned to the fields rejoicing to tend the sheep. This little baby was actually God himself in human form. So as we read in Philippians chapter 2, Jesus came as a servant to this earth he created. So please let us start by going to Philippians chapter 2. Starting in verse 5, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus was by his very nature God, and he did not consider it, though, his equality with God something he had to hang on to. He voluntarily laid aside his divine rights and his privileges out of his love for the Father, and he made himself nothing. He became a slave, a servant to God, so that he could fulfill God's plan of salvation for all mankind. It's a concept many people struggle with because it's not what one thinks of as what a powerful God would do. Humble themselves to be just like us. So please turn now to John chapter 1. We'll start in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. And Larry, would you pray over the Word of God, please, today?
Father, thank you so much for the privilege of being here to listen to your Word, to study your Word, and to realize how you have sent your Son to redeem us from our sins. He was granted today. And the Holy Spirit, give him the word to say, you know, the Holy Spirit to send and touch our ears to hear what we need to hear. I ask in the holy name, amen.
Amen. Yes, Lord, hallelujah. John 1, 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Jesus' divinity, his eternally existing self, is described here. As we said last week, John talks about the divinity of Jesus, where Matthew and Luke talk about the humanity more. It reads, through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. And yet, as he is described as being the life and the light of all mankind, the same light shined in the darkness, and the darkness did not understand it. And still don't. Now, some translations would say, did not comprehend it. The Greek word used here is katalambano, and it means to take eagerly or to seize. Mankind did not take eagerly or seize the truth of who Jesus was, and so neither did they receive him. As we look down in John chapter 1 and verse 10, we read, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. The world did not perceive who he actually was, and therefore they did not receive him. On in verse 11, he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. And the Greek word for receive is similar to the word for comprehend or to understand in verse 5. It is paralambano, and it means to receive or associate with in a close and intimate way, or to take unto oneself, to receive into one's being. It isn't actually just receiving. It addresses the spirit in which something is received. It is the picture of embracing and grasping, truly understanding what this thing is. It is delighting in what you have received. And the world did not delight in receiving Jesus. But we read on in verse 12. And we see, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. Wow, I love that verse. You want to know what your rights are? In some ways it seems pretty limited, but man, the right to become a child of God? That's our right? Wow. And now the Greek word for received here is lambano, which is the root of those other Greek words we see in the other verses. And it means to take or to accept, to be amazed or to get a hold of. For those who accept with amazement and grasp hold of who Jesus is, to those who believe in his name, meaning to those who have faith, who entrust one's spiritual well-being to Christ, Jesus gave those persons the right to become children of God. And the Greek word translated believe also has a deeper meaning than just simply believe. It is pistuo. And it means to have faith in or upon or respect to a person or a thing. Ours is to a person. It means by implication here to entrust one's spiritual well-being to Christ. And that is true belief. We trust in you, O Lord. Show me the way that I should go. For I trust in you. I give my life to you. It is by that level of faith or belief that we are given the right to become children of God. Yet to all who received him were amazed by him. Are you amazed yet? I mean, I am. When we get to know, this gift offers this amazing benefit to all who eagerly receive it, who grasp hold of it, who are amazed by it, and to take it into one's being. Jesus tells us, I in you, I live in you. But many people rejected this gift when it was given, and many still reject this gift today when it is presented. Romans rejected Jesus because they hated the Jewish people. They hated the culture. They hated the religion they had. They hated the values of the Jewish nation. And they were not going to accept Jesus because they could not accept his people. One could also say the Romans could not accept God, the Jewish God, before Jesus, so they could not accept his people either. This same sentiment is seen today in our culture, throughout Western culture. Many reject Jesus because they've been given a bad impression of who Jesus is through encounters with Christian people. They have been wounded by a hypocritical church family, a bad experience with a church leader, or by someone who they knew to be a Christian who hurt them. And so, like Romans, as they hate what they know of Christians, they also hate Jesus. Jesus was even rejected by his own people, the Jewish nation, at least certainly by the leaders of the Jewish people, because it was truly the leaders who instigated the crucifixion. As Jesus walked through Galilee, he was meeting people following him by the hundreds, by the thousands. But the leaders would have none of it. They had a different expectation of a Savior. They expected political power, a mighty ruling king who would marshal the forces of Israel and defeat the Roman army and their government and that rules over them. But please see what the religious leaders really wanted here. They wanted personal power and prestige, not forgiveness from a just God who has been rejected by them. They don't even see it. They don't see how they've rejected God. They now worship the scripture and their traditions, not God. And they don't want anything to do with that. They want their power. They want their prestige. They want what the world will give them. They don't see what God wants is their hearts. Jesus is also rejected today by many because, as with the Jewish leaders of his day, he is not being what he was expected to be. And he's not doing what we expect him to do for us. These people, they want an easy and prosperous life given to them by God. But they do not see that they've rejected God and his teachings and therefore have angered him. There is a debt that must be paid to God himself, not a life of ease given to us who have disobeyed him. Perhaps life as a Christian may be not going as well as you had hoped, as well as you had expected either. Is it time to give up on him just as the Jewish people in the first century did? Gave up on him? Crucify him? No. 2 Timothy 2:13 tells us, if we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. He remains faithful to his promise to be our Savior. If we who believe struggle at times, and we do, and we will, we are faithless. We are without faith. But God is still there for us, holding out his hand for us. He remains faithful even when we do not. A constant theme throughout God's word is that he is faithful even when his people reject him. He pleads with them. He continues to keep his promises. So let's turn to Zechariah chapter 1 as we see an interesting situation in Zechariah. For those who, just for background, Zechariah is a post-exilic prophet, meaning it's after the exile. There's a couple of those. He is one. So the exile is over. They're returning to Jerusalem. They've been there for 20 years or so, and the temple isn't being built. They're building their own houses, and God says, what are you guys doing? And so he's the prophet to call out to them. The one before that, I think, is Haggai, right? Isn't Haggai? Yeah, so Haggai kind of gets on them by the Lord, you know, sending the prophet. So now this is prophet Zechariah. And this is great, what he says to them. Zechariah 1, starting in verse 2, the Lord was very angry with your forefathers. Therefore tell the people, this is what the Lord Almighty says, return to me, declares the Lord Almighty, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. Do not be like your forefathers to whom earlier prophets proclaimed, this is what the Almighty Lord says, turn from your evil ways and your evil practices. But they would not listen or pay attention to me, declares the Lord. See, he's pleading with us. He's pleading with them. Please, return to me. Do not turn from those wicked ways. But They would not listen. Where are your forefathers now? And the prophets, do they live forever? But did not my words and my decrees, which I commanded my servants the prophets, overtake your forefathers? And then they repented and said, the Lord Almighty has done to us our ways, to what our ways and practices deserve, just as he determined to do. Mark this in your Bibles if you do that sort of thing. Return to me, declares the Lord, and I will return to you. He's always waiting for our return to him and to his ways. The prodigal son sees his father running towards him with his arms open. Peter sees Jesus on the seashore, and he runs to him. Return to me, and I will return to you. So please remember the purpose of Jesus being born. It was to fulfill God's plan of salvation for you, for me, for all mankind. And God is faithful to that promise. But he didn't return to bring us prosperity and riches of the world. He came to rescue us from eternal damnation. Please see it in the first century. The religious leaders didn't think they needed that. They're fine. Let's listen to the writings of them. They're great. And Jesus and even John the Baptist, oh, you brood of vipers, they called them. Even if he's not doing what you expect, he's still there for you, and he is still faithful to be your Savior. That never changes. Now, the next place we see this great Greek word, paralambano, is in John 14, starting in verse 1. So please flip over to John 14. And we see more of these promises. Starting in verse 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Some translations say, you trust in God, so also trust in me. Verse 2, in my Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. So we read, trust in God, trust also in me. The Greek word translated trust is the same word we saw in John 1:12, translated believe, pistuo. Jesus is saying, you have faith, you entrust your spiritual well-being to God, so have faith and entrust your spiritual being well-being in me. This is the new covenant. Everything is new now. Jesus says, I will come back and I'll take you with me. Other translations say, I will come back and receive you to myself. And here we see that same Greek word, translated as take or receive, is paralambano. It means to receive or associate with it a close and very intimate way. To take unto yourself, to receive into your being. And again, it isn't just receiving, it's addressing the spirit in which something is received. It's a picture of embracing and grasping, truly understanding and desiring what this thing is. Desiring Jesus intimately. And it is delighting in what you have received. The world did not delight in receiving Jesus. But Jesus is saying here that he delights in receiving you and me into his kingdom, because he says that you may also be where I am. The world still doesn't delight in receiving Jesus everywhere. But we have. Let us not lose what we have gained. Because Jesus says that you may also be where I am. Jesus, our Savior, the great gift from God, made himself nothing, made himself just like us in order to fulfill God's promise of a Savior for all mankind and to receive us to himself. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 tells us, the one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. So he calls us, but he's faithful, and he will start what he finished. The question really for each of us is, are we going to receive him with great delight? Are we going to be amazed by him and grasp hold of him, desire him, or are we going to reject this precious and great gift God has, God's love for us. Are we going to keep this Christmas gift? Or are we going to be like so many others and return it the day after Christmas for something we think is better? Lord, I pray that not be said of any of us. So again, I want to continue having communion each Sunday as we approach Christmas Day to remember the true meaning of Christmas. I'm so sad the way Christmas is celebrated in so much of our country and in our culture, as well as how it's celebrated throughout the Western world. We must separate ourselves from the strange characters and ideas that have sprung up over the generations, over the centuries, over the millennia, that speak nothing about Jesus coming as a Messiah, the Savior of all mankind. How rarely I see a nativity scene displayed in the front yards around town. But I see Santa. I see Frosty. I see reindeer. I see somebody named Olaf. Olaf. I think he comes from Chosen. Where does he come from? What? Oh, I said Chosen. I meant Frozen. That's why you said no right away. Frozen, for those who have youngsters, you would understand this. And all these other images and characters that are completely unrelated to Jesus Christ coming into the world. He created the world. He created to rescue his creation from damnation and to provide eternal life to his creation. As Julie and I drove around town the other night in our neighborhood, a couple of nights ago, we saw only two nativity scenes. God is calling us to return to him. So let's go to the communion table now and meditate on the true reason for celebrating this season. Let's meditate on Jesus coming into the world he created to live in it in all its fallen nature so as to redeem it for all who choose to listen to the message of God, our Father, that Jesus Christ has been brought into his creation to be the perfect example and the perfect sacrifice to buy us back into the family of God. Let us listen. Remember we read in Zechariah, what they would not listen to me. Let us listen and let us believe it. Let us pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, let us not be distracted by the things of this world. It is so easy. But in some ways, Lord, I feel for me, speaking for myself, it's getting easier and easier not to get distracted because it's getting so ridiculous. And almost, well, it hurts my heart, Lord. It hurts my heart. Got all these TV shows and movies and music, all these characters have nothing to do with you. Help us keep our eyes fixed upon you, Lord Jesus. I know I say that all the time, but it's important to us. Keep our eyes fixed upon you, Lord Jesus. And in this season, let us remember, wow, you are amazing to us. You came. You came to rescue us from our own sinfulness. And I pray one more thing, Lord. Let us recognize our need for you. Let us not be like the religious leaders of the first century. Let us not be like so many today that see, I have no need for a Savior. I'm fine. I'm better than fine. I'm great. No. We need you, Lord. Let us know that. And I thank you, Lord, you constantly remind me of that. Help us. Remind each and every one of us. Show us our dark heart. Show us our need for you. And then show us also that your hand is open, your arms are open, your hand is right there. Just like when Jesus started sinking in the sea, your hand was right there. The prodigal son comes home, the dad's running to him. His arms are open. That's who you are. Help us to return to you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah.